All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Another Bourbon Show. We're on fire tonight.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, fucking shit. Why do we keep doing this to ourselves? Tonight, we've got a very excited, don't get me wrong, this is an exciting episode. Stay tuned, folks, because tonight we are drinking Rare Breed Rye. A whiskey that we've actually already drank on this show. We've already had it. So,
if it's any consolation, I don't remember it at all. So,
well, and it, when we drank it, it was part of either the three blind ryes or the four blind ryes episode. So we were drinking multiple things that particular night. I think it was the three blind ryes episode. So yeah, it's not like we were dedicated to this bottle on that episode, but Rare Breed Rye, it's from Wild Turkey, obviously. It's about $60. It's 112.2 proof. I forget the full mash bill, but I remember it's 51% rye and then about 30% corn, maybe 35% corn, and then the rest barley. So that's the mash bill. And like I said, it's about $60. It can be pretty challenging to find. It can be pretty tricky. But before we do anything else, Steven, what do you think about that label?
Well, you got the green. You got to have the green. And I would say, is this maybe like the hardest to say name in bourbon? Rare Breed Rye? I feel like can't say it.
It doesn't flow well.
No. It's pretty.
I mean, especially when you say Wild Turkey in the beginning too.
Wild Turkey Rare Breed Rye. Right. Yeah. Wild Turkey.
Yeah. It's, say it 10 times fast. I dare you.
Wild Turkey Rare Breed Rye. I can't do it once, man. I think
jeez,
it's.
Man. Sound like John Fetterman over here, dude.
Oh, Christ, man. You're going to do this all up. So this is going to mean nothing to anybody. I'm sure this is going to age so well. This is aging well in the moment. So it's definitely going to age well a few weeks from now. Rare Breed Rye is, it's a cool look on the label. I like it more than the regular Rare Breed just because I think that green does a lot for it with like the gold and like the, just the color of the whiskey too accentuates that overall bottle, I think.
Yeah.
I love the turkey. Okay. I love the turkey being on. I gave Wild Turkey 101 like a super high, like 8 or 9 or something. I gave it a high score. Now, the new Wild Turkey 101, they kind of neuter that turkey. It's like, I think it's just like the only
turkey. They cut the giblets off of it.
It's just etched on the glass, and it's really hard to read, and it just doesn't look as sort of majestic as it did before. I don't even know what the word is. Like, there's a regal look to it. It looks, you know, distinguished to me. I think Rare Breed is a great line in terms of that branding, and I hope that they don't change it. I think that this guy is a 9. I like it a lot. I think it's a really good looking bottle for something that it does a good job, I think, of looking like a super rare release. And part of me at least always gets excited
rare
part of me gets excited anytime I see it on the shelf, because I just think that, you know, it's a nice looking bottle. It's a pretty good value if you find it MSRP, I think. We'll get into all that stuff, but it just looks really nice and feels like something I think that you'd be excited to see. And part of that is the overall presentation, that cork. I like the cork on it as well. Just a nice bottle. It's a distinct shape. There's a lot of good coming from this bottle, and you know what it is up front. It's easy to tell that it's rye. What's not to like, in my opinion? Other than the name being kind of clunky.
So, where's it at?
It's a 9. Giving it a 9.
9? All right. Damn.
But
it's high praise, Ryan. You're supposed to say it.
That's high praise.
That's high praise.
And I think that the Wild Turkey brand has a lot of hit or miss on their products. So.
Okay. Ryan, anything you want to add?
I really like the cork too. That's probably my favorite part.
Yeah.
Looks awesome. Stands out on the shelf. Mm-hmm. Short and sweet.
Cool.
Like your dick.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Good one, dude.
All right. Well, what do you say we get into it?
Give it a shot.
Give it a go.
Cheers.
Now, have you guys had it other than whatever I sent it as part of that prior episode?
No.
No.
Okay.
I've seen it more and more often on the shelf, though, around here.
Yeah, so whenever it first came out, people went ape shit about it, right? Oh, it's a new product, so it just flies off the shelf. And then once people realize, oh, wait, it's going to be there. It's going to, like, it's a consistent product. It's not a special release. They realize that, oh, there's no reason to fucking hoard this shit. Like, it's good, but there's no reason to hoard it. Just buy your bottle, and then 3 months from now, when you want more, go buy a different bottle. It'll be there. But there was a time when it was really hard to find when it first came out.
It's a nice color.
Yeah, nice honey color. And like a dark honey. It smells very much like a rye.
Can I give you a weird note I get on the nose? I'm going to step out on a limb. I'm not going to be the safe little bitch ass like, ooh, it smells like oak. All right. I'm coming in hot. This is what it smells like to me.
Wood.
No, I got one that'll knock your socks off, dude. It smells like KC Masterpiece Barbecue, just a little bit.
I don't know that I've ever had, like, I don't remember the smell of KC Masterpiece Barbecue, so I can't.
It's that little, it's a little sweet barbecue smell.
Okay.
There's a little sweetness to it.
Like Gates Barbecue?
Sure. Yeah,
Gates out of Kansas City. I get like caramel apple, a lot of apples to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also smells a little bit like if you have like a barbecue chip. Like, I want to say it smells specifically like if you open up a pack of like barbecue, what's that one brand? Crunchers. You ever had barbecue?
Oh, crunchers? I love crunchers. I've never had barbecue. I don't like barbecue potato chips.
God damn it.
I'm sorry.
This is such a good pull, though, but that's what it smells like. I'm trying to land any way I can with you guys, but it smells like one of those two things. There's something about it that has that sort of smoky, spicy, but still sweet smell. That's all the stuff that you smell in barbecue to me.
Mm. I take your word for it. I trust you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I've never heard of those chips.
Really?
You haven't?
No.
You've seen them for sure.
You've seen them, yeah.
Crunchers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a K.
Look for them real quick.
Okay. Here.
They have like really like tacky late 90s, early 2000s stylings on the bags.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen those. They're J's.
Are they?
J's Crunchers? Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
I've seen those.
Yeah,
but they're like a kitchen cooked or they're like that type of a
kettle.
Do they still make kettle cooked chips or are those out of those are long gone, aren't they?
They still make them. I mean,
they make a bunch of different brands. So like in your down in Bloomington, you can probably get kitchen cooked, right? Like the red.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there's matter of fact, a girl that went to my school up in Central Illinois, Williamsfield, before I moved to Texas. She's married to the son of that company.
David Kettle.
Like, her dad started that company in Farmington. She married the Kettle.
Well, if that isn't the pot calling the kettle, the marrying the kettle, calling the kettle black, then
you're reaching,
I don't know what
Steven.
It.
you're reaching.
All right, let's try the whiskey.
Let's try it, dude. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, anyway, here's Wonderwall, right? That's sweet.
Yeah. I fucking love this stuff. I'm not going to lie.
Reminds me of a Tootsie Roll.
Around.
It's got a Tootsie Roll?
Yeah. Like the very beginning, as soon as you taste it.
I don't know about a Tootsie Roll. I mean, if that's what you taste, then that's what you taste. But I don't get a Tootsie Roll.
This is a spicy boy, as I like to say.
Spicy at the end. Very sweet in the beginning.
That's what I love so much about it, is that, like, up front, it's actually, like, up front, it's super, super, super sweet to me. Like, sweet, like, even sweeter than a standard bourbon up front. But then it gives way to, like, spice and, like, heat, like, legit heat, and a nice, big, tight, warm hug on you. With a long finish, and just like strong, complex flavors throughout.
What's the proof on it, Dan?
112.2.
Okay.
I'd say this tastes like it's between 120 and 125. It's pretty potent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a strong one. If you told me, or it tastes like it's higher rye, it tastes like it's, higher than it. If you told me it was 51% rye and 112 proof, and one of those was a lie, I would believe you. You know, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can definitely see how it's either higher rye or higher proof. But somehow combined, it creates, like you said, like a really potent, really strong tasting notes throughout. Really strong nose, really strong palate. I believe this would be good with an ice cube. Although I haven't tried it, I think it would be good in cocktails. Although I haven't tried it, I think that it's just, I could see people who are wanting to take the edge off a little bit, still liking it in a lot of ways. I think it would just bring out a lot of those different notes.
Well, I can tell you 100%, it's amazing in a Manhattan. It is fantastic in a Manhattan.
You got a lot to work with there.
You do. And so one of my things is that, like, one of my thoughts as far as, like, being higher proof or higher rye, from what you said, Stephen, is that I want to make sure that the listeners know that, in my opinion, Stephen, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I find it very drinkable, though, too. It's not like it's harsh. It doesn't have, like, a strong ethanol, like, holy shit, that burns from alcohol sting. It's what most people would call smooth. It's very drinkable. But I think that what you're saying as far as, like, the high rye or the higher proof is that it's got so much flavor that comes out of it when you sip it, even though it's smooth and easy to drink.
Yeah, it's incredibly flavorful. I'm finding it a little harder to drink than what you're saying, but actually not because of the spiciness or anything. It, to me, excuse me, you can hear it now. It's a really dry one to me. Like, my glass is almost completely dry. Like, there's no legs, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I would say is the drinkability is hurt a little bit just because it's a very drying whiskey to me. But I think that the overall flavor, it doesn't burn, but there's a lot of warmth to it. And that doesn't necessarily turn me off, but yeah, it's a dry one to me.
Almost like a creamy texture to it too, if that makes sense, in the beginning, and then it levels out with those very spicy notes.
And like, I like the creamy mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Like a creamy mouthfeel, but a dry finish.
Yeah. I kind of wish they were opposite, just how, based on my taste, I think it's a really good whiskey. I really like that sweetness to it. I kind of wish it was the whole thing. What are you going to do? I mean, for $60 in the proof, especially what's out there and how expensive everything is now, I mean, there's 80 proof bourbons that I would stay away from that charge $40-$50. So it's definitely a much better get for you.
Yeah. Some news came out yesterday. So Wild Turkey is owned by Campari.
They just bought somebody.
That's what I was going to say. Just yesterday, they bought, Campari bought a 60% stake in Wilderness Trail.
Read that.
Wilderness Trail, those, the two dudes that started it, those motherfuckers just got paid. Paid. Straight up paid.
And they still got 40% of their company. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I can't remember if Campari bought 60% or 70%. It's either 60 or 70. And they valued Wilderness Trail at like $600 million. So they just put whatever 60% of 600 million is in those two dudes' pocket.
Yeah.
And they get the 420 million.
Yeah. Majority stake in Kentucky Distiller for 420 million. With plans to acquire the remaining 30% in 2031. Full acquisition cost will be $600 million.
And my understanding is that the two guys get to keep their yeast business because it's considered a separate business. What's the name of that company? FirmTech or some shit like that. They'll still be able to continue doing their yeast consulting.
Yeah. And
yeast production work.
Pretty sick.
Good for them, man. 40% increase in sales in the past year.
I'd be a little pickier now about who I took as my clientele. You don't need every job when you got 400 mil in the bank.
210 per owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll end up being like the Ballast Point owner. That guy's made a shitload more than everybody. He sold Ballast Point for $1 billion. And then all the hipster beer douches stopped drinking it because it sold to Constellation. And then he sold his Cutwater spirits to Anheuser-Busch for, they didn't release how much that was. It's probably $200-300 million though. So that dude's probably made over $1 billion.
Crazy. Good for him.
It's only like $600 million after taxes, though.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point, dude.
It's almost nothing.
Yeah, what's the fucking
is it
point?
Even worth it at that point? Right? No. Like, that's what keeps me from like really jumping head first into starting a business.
Yeah. I'm just like, this what?
This fucking lottery, man. Maybe one of us will win it.
I mean, I would have to buy a ticket to win. That's
it. You're not going to do it?
Is there a big one that I'm supposed to buy a ticket for?
$1.2
billion. When?
Drawings tomorrow, I think. I haven't bought any tickets. I saw it on the news. Yeah.
Which one is it this time?
It's a Powerball.
Wow. Looks like Augie's not going to college anyway. I may as well take more money out of that account.
Yeah, I'm too good at math to buy a lottery ticket, but at the same time, I'm gonna fucking waste my money anyway. So why not?
That's kind of the way I look at it. Yeah, right? Like
some guy won in Bufu Red. What's it? What's the name of that city down that little town? Redbud. Yeah, someone down there won like a $750 million lottery. Something crazy.
Did you guys watch the McBillions lottery or documentary? Mm-mm. That they had on HBO.
Is that about the Monopoly thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The article is really good too.
So wild how like brazen those people were that it's like, why did they think they would get away with the fact that like people within like a 60-mile radius of each other were like always the winners for like year after year after year of all the big ticket items? It's like, what are the fucking odds, you know? It's like no one is ever going to look into this. Then the fucking FBI gets it one day.
They should have quit while they were ahead, man. I mean, they were doing it for a while.
Yeah. You could have gotten away with it every once in a while or like just spreading it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like laundering it a little bit better. They probably would have never known or thought to look into it.
Yeah. Just don't get greedy. That's. Like, whenever I steal stuff, I tend
You guys want to rate this whiskey?
I do. Let's do it.
You do that. You want me to go first?
Yeah, we want you to go first.
All right, dude. Jesus.
He got a new job, and now he's all fucking uppity and shit. He's like, oh, look how special I am. Somebody actually wants me for once in my life.
Jesus Christ, that's like the meanest thing ever said on this podcast.
Somebody finally wants me.
That was way too far. You're going to die alone, Ryan. Give your score.
7.5.
Okay.
Going 7.5. I liked it a lot. I think the sweetness of it was really nice. And I wish that shined through a little bit more because it could have been in the 8s for me. It just at the end was a little too spicy. Like Steven said, sometimes I don't know if you didn't say overbearing, but it was just a little much at the end. And I wish those smoother, sweeter notes would have stand out a little bit more. But I think, you know, the bang for your buck, $60. Does it say barrel proof on the bottle? It says something, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Barrel proof. I mean, for that value and how the market is right now, I think it's a real good bottle to get. And I'd like to try it in a cocktail. And I'm sure that would, you know, like you said, a Manhattan with that, with those sweet notes, it would be really good. And then the spice at the end. But yeah, 7.5.
Cool. All right, Steven, I want to hear you next.
I'm going to give it an 8.2. I think drinking it neat, I like it a lot. I think it's a really, really good rye. I think it's as simple as that. And I think it comes in at right at the correct price, and maybe a little cheaper than what I would expect to pay for this quality of rye and as much flavor as you get from it. I would compare it most closely, though obviously I don't like it as much as Smoke Wagon Small Batch specifically. And I think that it, you know, that you're looking at right about the same price for that. And this is a little higher proof. And I would say it has a little more punch to it, if that's what you're looking for. And I'm only drinking this neat right now. But as we've been talking about, I think it would be really good in some cocktails as well. So I think it's an 8.2 because it does have the versatility there. And I think it compares favorably to something that I've given a 9 to, you know, like in the 9s to. So really solid hitter for me. And as it's becoming more available, I think you owe it to yourself to give it a shot. Try it at a bar if you can, and drink more rye. You know, we always try to say that, but this is one that I think it's pretty easy to transition from drinking bourbon to drinking this. Because I think there's a lot of notes and a lot of stuff that you typically get in Wild Turkey products that you find in this as well. So it's a good, it's an easy way to bridge that gap too. 8.2.
So it surprises me that you went 8.2, Stephen. I thought you were going to be probably a full point less than that. I expected you to be like a 7.2 based on the comments you made earlier, but I'm glad to hear it. I've been stuck at an 8.4 this whole time. I think that this is just a fantastic bottle. I think that this is in the upper echelons of what a rye whiskey should be. It's got the complexity that is what I appreciate so much about rye from. But it's also got so much sweetness to it that you don't expect when you've got that complexity and the spice that comes with the rye finish. And part of that's probably because of the 30% corn. You know, it's only 51% rye to begin with, right? So, but it's just a fantastic pour, fantastic bottle. Wild Turkey is one of my very favorite distilleries out there. And this is a great example of why. Because they just do things really, really, really well. So yeah, I give it an 8.4. Drink it, like Steven said, drink more rye, and throw this into an old fashioned, and you'll probably like it. And I can personally vouch for it, how fantastic it is in Manhattan's. So there you have it. 8.4 for me.
That's high praise.
It's even, really good stuff.
Even though I was saying that it's dry, I think all that changes is that this is actually one I probably would like with an ice cube or something like that, or just have a water on the side. But I still think it's a good sipper. but it is, it's dry. I'm starting to take smaller sips than I normally do just to kind of compensate as well. And it makes it better. So.
Yeah, I just
love how you'll die alone, dude.
So I hear from my friends. Another brother showing.
Another brother showing.